My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I wonder what images come to mind when you hear the phrase inner peace. My guess is something like people sitting cross-legged, eyes closed, candles, maybe those CDs of nature sounds. I found a guide online called How to Achieve Inner Peace with pictures. So I thought that would be a good place to confirm if most people had the same kind of images. And hey presto, number one, someone sitting cross-legged with their eyes closed and those kind of towers of balanced stones. It's easy to write off that kind of thing as mumbo-jumbo. Maybe that's how you feel when you see a sermon title like At Peace. I'll be honest, as a man, sometimes I wouldn't be necessarily that attracted by a talk about inner peace. Dom sent me an email yesterday with the subject line, concrete bashing. That got my attention. If he'd sent me a subject line, workshop on inner peace at my house on Saturday, I'd be less interested. However, obviously, whatever the balancing stones and cross-legged people represent, it's something that people want, isn't it? Because there's a whole industry around well-being. Did you see the notice in Oddown Community Centre about the well-being college? People want inner peace, or whatever you want to call it. Which makes sense if we think about the alternative, which would be, I guess, inner turmoil. We've all experienced that, and it's not something we want. Humans want to be psychologically calm rather than frantic, confident rather than anxious, content instead of uneasy. We might think inner peace sounds fluffy, but we want it. And we certainly don't want sleepless nights, rolling about in bed, thoughts going round at 100 miles an hour. We know what that's like. We don't want it. But it's not that easy to get, which is why people pay money for the coaching and go to wellbeing college, or get the trips or the music or whatever. Everyone wants to be content in themselves, to have peace within, in a lasting way, to be someone characterized by a lack of anxiety. David's singing in the psalm about his experience of getting that, about achieving lasting peace inside. And so, as we look through the psalm, we're going to look at the attractiveness of the place that David got to. We're going to look at what he had to do to get there, what he had to turn away from, and think about how that relates to the Christian life and our experience and what it offers to us, really. And we're going to start by homing in on the center of the psalm, the goal that David's singing about, this place of calm that he reached, which I've called a deeply attractive repose. Deeply attractive repose. Have a look at the psalm again. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. That's the image at the center there. Like a weaned child, verse 2. I'm content. That is quite a place to have got to. To be like a weaned child with its mother. It's this picture of calm and peace and contentment. Look at those verbs, verse 2. Calmed, quietened. This image of a little child happily nestled on its mother. If you translate it a bit more woodenly, it's even stronger. David's saying, I've calmed and quietened my soul like a weaned child on its mother. Like a weaned child on me is my soul. My soul like a weaned one on its mother. Like a weaned one on me, my soul. So this picture of the baby with its mother, David is saying, it's like my soul is the baby and I am the mother, my soul on me like a baby. You really couldn't get a more perfect picture of inner peace, really. You couldn't be more mentally calm and together and content, which is deeply attractive. Who wouldn't want to be able to say that their soul rests quietly on themselves? Maybe we're calm tonight. Maybe we know that later we might be churning about on the bed and restless. Wouldn't we like to leave behind that possibility? Wouldn't we like to get a grip on agitated thoughts? Well, David did, in some sense. Not to say that he got to this place and then never had any trouble with anxiety again. That's not really realistic for human beings still living in the world. It doesn't really match up with David's later life. On the other hand, this psalm doesn't read like it was a kind of one-off experience. Once I became really calm, and it was great, but I've never been there since. So it's not that either. You get the sense that David had achieved something, that he had changed, he had moved. Maybe it's not that he never had times of being anxious, but that was no longer his kind of default state. It was no longer the way he characterized himself. And when things did threaten to unsettle him, he knew the route away from that. He was accustomed to this place, to returning here. He'd had a shift in mindset that meant he could characterize his inner state like this. My soul rests on me like a weaned child. The psalm shows us that it took a change within David. That even comes out in the nature of the image of a weaned child. It's an interesting choice of phrase. He could have just said a small child with its mother, but he means more than that. Because we're fortunate to have lots of little children around us, the image is familiar. And as we were saying with the children, a little baby, before they move to eating solid foods, has this incredible craving for milk, especially when they're hungry. And when mummy comes near, that's kind of all they can think about. They're hunting around because they know where the milk, that they want the milk. So a non-weaned baby can very often be the opposite of calm in that situation. But when they start eating solid food, they move into a different stage of life. So they don't get in a flap when mummy comes near. In the same way, food comes in this stable, regular pattern. So there's a sense in which they can now rest on mummy without getting frantic in the same way. I think David's point is he has moved to a different stage. He has matured. He has moved on. He's got a stability now that he's come from leaving behind an earlier state. Well, what is it that he's left behind? We're looking at verse 1 and what I've called an all-too-familiar problem. An all-too-familiar problem. What's David had to move away from in order to get this calm? My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with great matters. There's a shift. He's moved away from pride, haughtiness, concerning himself with great matters. The question I had when I read that at first was, how is pride the opposite of being calm? David achieves peace by leaving behind pride. How does that work? Well, look at verse 1. My heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. That's straightforward. Then this next phrase, I don't concern myself with great matters. The verb is to walk. I don't walk about in great matters. It's kind of intensive, so I don't walk to and fro. We might say, I don't busy myself with great matters. I don't fret over things too wonderful for me. This verse is cohesive. It holds together. After all, what does pride lead to? A too high view of myself leads to self-promotion, self-confidence, self-reliance. If I'm proud, I will busy myself with great matters, that is, what I can achieve, what I can do. And of course, if I'm proud, what I can do will seem like great matters to me. Which means that pride leads to anxiety. If we are self-reliant then and self-centered, we say, I deserve whatever, and I must get myself whatever. It leads to unbearable anxiety because it's all down to me. If it goes wrong, it's my fault, and that's it. I'm the one who has to get myself what I deserve. But what about those things that I don't control? For every self-made millionaire who's got everything he wanted, there was another, just as talented, just as privileged, who got cancer when he was 20 and never had the chance. We can't control all the variables, so if everything rests on me, then of course anxiety, busying myself, fretting over what I'm doing, is the result. And so it's pride that David has got to turn away from in order to be calm. And I think that is all too familiar, busying ourselves, walking to and fro about in matters. We identify that. We identify with busy thoughts. Anxious minds are busy minds. And so often what we're busy thinking about is our own life, isn't it? Our thoughts are often very centered on, what am I going to do? Even as we're worrying about the future, perhaps, what am I going to do about this situation? What am I going to do about this future event? How do I react to this situation? How am I going to sort out this problem at work? How am I going to achieve this for my children? How am I going to sort out my money issues? How often are we disquieted because we're acting like it all depends on us? And that's the kind of pride that David is turning away from. And of course, pride isn't just there when we achieve something and feel good about ourselves. It's there in reverse when we don't achieve and feel crushed. One Christian writer calls that thwarted pride. David had to move away from pride. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not towards you. I do not concern myself, busy myself with great matters. In fact, there's a sense in which what he needed to move away from was self-salvation. So that phrase, things too wonderful for me, that phrase, wonderful things, is normally used in the Old Testament to describe God's acts of salvation, the passing of the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho falling down, described as wonderful things or marvelous deeds. So David is saying pride and self-confidence ultimately is about thinking we can save ourselves, which we can't. If we look at what the Bible says is needed to rescue God's people, if we look at the real mighty acts, the real marvelous deeds God has done, there's no way that we can do that for ourselves. And that's the gospel, isn't it? God in Christ has done for us all that we could not do for ourselves. Pride says, I can do it. David's mindset, the Christian mindset, says, I know I can't do it, but Christ has done it. And that's the attitude that's got to be fully worked through our thinking in order to get where David got to, calm inside, to the place where we don't busy ourselves trying to do what we can't do, because we can't do it, we can't save ourselves, we can't achieve happiness for ourselves. I can't achieve happiness for my children. I can't achieve security. Not that lasts anyway. I can't permanently fix all my relationships. I can't determine what will happen tomorrow. Basically, anything I could achieve would be insufficient because no amount of money or worldly success or anything I can actually do with my hands is going to make me live forever. Nothing of those are really great matters. Nothing of the things we busy ourselves are really marvelous deeds because they're not eternal life. And that's really what we need deep down. That's the only real great matter. That's the only real wonderful thing. True security is eternal life, and it's totally unachievable, and it's completely already ours in Christ. And isn't that why he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light"? He's already offering us the one thing that we most need, the one thing that we can't get is already ours. And so this calm that David talks about is only available to the Christian, the person who's got true security in Christ. If we don't have that promise from outside of ourselves, then the only place you can look is inside. And that is where people look. I told you earlier about the guide to inner peace that I found online. It was composed of 17 steps. I don't know if anyone bothered to do all 17. But step 7, have pride. Take pride in yourself. Step 7, on the way to inner peace. Well, that's the opposite, isn't it, of David's approach. Put your hope, your pride in yourself, and you will be desperately anxious and ultimately disappointed. But David's peace comes from turning away from what he could do for himself, turning out to what God would do for him. And that is a choice. That is an active choice to be made. An active choice to be made. It's there in those verbs. In verse 2, I have calmed and I have quietened my soul. So David made a choice and he took an action. He worked on his soul. I guess he talked to himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones has that great question for us, doesn't he? Are you listening to yourself or are you talking to yourself? Isn't that the heart of our sleepless nights, listening to our worries? We've got to make David's choice to talk to ourselves, to quiet our souls and calm our hearts. We've got to make David's choice to apply the gospel in this sense to ourselves. We've got to make David's choice to tell ourselves that anxiety comes from pride, that self-reliance makes us fret about our lives, that security is unachievable by ourselves and already ours in Christ. In other words, you could say, verse 3, we need to put our hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Just because, however, David talks about it as a kind of done deal, doesn't make it easy, doesn't make it like flicking a switch, doesn't just happen because we see the logic of it. We've still got to work at reminding ourselves and convincing ourselves afresh when we're troubled. I guess we can tell from experience that when David says, I have calmed and quieted myself, it probably wasn't a snap thing for him either. We assume, given all the circumstances of his life that could have caused him to worry, that it was hard for him too. We can think, I guess, about the experience of having to calm down a child after they've woken in the night. You don't just say, okay, that's it, you can be calm now. And that's it. At least not most of the time. You have to spend time reassuring, comforting, working through things, gently telling them the same old truths, easing them back to sleep. Even think about the experience of helping a friend cope with a worrying situation or a serious shock. It takes time, it takes lots of words, it takes sitting together and going over things. Well, I guess David is saying that he's doing that to his own soul. He's saying we need to do that to our own souls, to make this active choice, to talk to ourselves, to act, to calm ourselves with these truths and put our hope afresh in the Lord. So it's not a simple one-off action. On the other hand, I think David's experience gives us some assurance that this is a destination that can be reached. A destination that can be reached now. I wondered when I first read the psalm, how does this work as a psalm of ascent? It makes sense as a psalm, it makes sense as a song of David, it makes sense as his experience, but how does it make sense as a song of ascent? In what sense is this a song that you would sing on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem? What's more, this is psalm number 3 in the set of 3. So we'd expect it to be about the destination in some sense. How does it fit? Well, I found our series title quite helpful here, reminding me that the songs of ascent are songs for the road. Because I think this works as a song for the road. I think this psalm is telling us about a destination that can be reached on the road, on the journey. After all, David got to this place. During his life, he got to this place of peace, this place of having his hope in God, turning from pride, turning from walking about in great matters during his lifetime. The language is definitive. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself. I have quietened and calmed my soul. There are so many things that God promises us that actually we can't expect to have now. We mustn't expect to have now. We can't expect freedom from pain or disease now. We can't expect prosperity in a material sense now. We can't expect perfectly restored relationships now. We don't expect a renewed creation now. These things are waiting for the new creation, for Zion, and we've sung lots of songs about the glory of the place that we're going to. But this we can have now. We can have peace on the journey. Paul puts it like this in Philippians, in familiar verses: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's very much something offered to us, isn't it? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. So while we don't expect that we'll never again have a troubled night, we don't expect that we'll never again be tempted by anxiety, we can expect a different experience as Christians, and we can expect progress. David is singing about this after all. He's praising God. He's talking to God with joy about having a life where he has worked into his thinking the truths that he knows about God. And therefore, to an extent, he has left behind anxiety in the way that he previously knew it. And that's both a rebuke and a comfort to us. It's a comfort because this is on offer. It's on offer to us, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Being like a calmed, quietened child, that's on offer to us. It is the logical application of the gospel that we hold dear. So it is there, it's on offer. But it's a rebuke as well to us in terms of our taking it up, taking up that offer, and whether we are truly characterized by having made this shift in our thinking, this move from pride to peace. Think about the image of the weaned child. That desperation for milk is appropriate for a baby, but there is something wrong if that's still there in a teenager. We do need to grow and mature as David did. And it is on offer to us, the peace that he had. I find it helpful, as I think through this psalm, for kind of recasting maybe how I'm going to approach a time of anxiety, which naturally we would hope ends. We hope sleepless nights ends in that situation. We hope we get to the end. I think this psalm helpfully kind of frames the process of dealing with anxiety as an active choice to reject our own pride. It's a helpful reminder that pride is at the root of anxiety. It's a helpful reminder that peace is on offer for the Christian. and that it needs an active choice. Inner peace, not available via meditation, balancing stones, or seashore sounds. Available through a thorough application of the gospel to the way that we think. Available through the humility that chooses not to busy ourselves with self-salvation, but to look to Christ, our Saviour, and our security. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you that the Lord Jesus came to free us from the self-striving, self-saving works, from that life of anxiety based on thinking that we have to do it all. We have to achieve everything we want for ourselves and ourselves. Father, thank you for David, for your Spirit's work in his life. Thank you for how his hope and his confidence was in you, was in all the good truth that he knew about you, was in his understanding of your character. Thank you for this psalm of his, where he speaks of this shift in his thinking and his attitude from pride towards peace and resting in you. Father, we pray that this would be a wonderful thing for us, that it would truly describe us in our thinking. We thank you for the great gift that this can be our attitude, this can be the way that we think. We pray for your particular help to work this thinking through in our own minds and hearts. We pray for that active choice when we're faced with anxiety to calm and quieten our own souls. Father, we pray against pride, and we pray that you would help us as Emmanuel Church to put our hope in the Lord now and forevermore. Amen.